What's up, guys? Rookie Bros here, back with another video for you guys. We're going to be doing a quick spoiler review for Black Widow. It was just dropped a couple of days ago on Disney Plus and in theaters. I'll actually start with some of the basic stuff that actually it's breaking records as the first movie since before the pandemic to do as well as it did. Actually did $200 million worldwide in just the first weekend, which is not even over yet because the Sunday numbers haven't come in yet, but is doing very well, which is a healthy sign for the theater market, which we'll discuss in a future video when we have Samir back with us as well, about like, you know, what the theatrical streaming kind of war looks like now that we see the pandemic is on its way out. But let's start with Black Widow, and I'll give maybe Zan, you can go first. What did you think about the movie, like, overall?
Yeah, so I mean, like you tell from the trailers, obviously this movie is a long time coming, fighting so many delays over years. And even through the delays, people are thinking that it's already too late coming after Infinity War, since the movie takes place, you know, in between Civil War and Infinity War in canon. So after coming out after Endgame and all that stuff, like, what's the value to it? But you watch the film itself is closer to like run-of-the-mill Marvel movie, what you expect. I thought, surprisingly, as far as the comedy, it wasn't overbearing. Like, a lot of times these Marvel films, they like throw quips and one-liners at you over and over. And even in the moments where they're trying to be like sincere, they throw a joke in there to break tension. I feel like this movie did a somewhat better job of not doing that as much, where they actually kept a good balance between the humor and then actually the serious undertones and like the themes in the movie. As far as the acting, Black Widow, she was okay. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. As everybody's saying online, and as we see when you watch the movie, Florence Pugh, her character, really did steal the show of the film. And obviously, hopefully more to come from her as the series, as the movies go on, the MCU. And overall, the action was okay. Everything was fine. I felt like it was nothing stood out there that was so bad that I can say, oh yeah, this was just the worst thing ever, or Marvel just dropped the ball. I feel like this is just average what Marvel does. It's not something spectacular, but it's not something so bad that I can say that, okay, yeah, nobody should watch this movie. I felt like it was good for what it had to do. It was good for what the purpose of the movie was, to try to like introduce like a new Black Widow, basically. Aside from that, my only gripe would be that some points the CGI was noticeably weak. Now, that could have been for, I don't know, whatever reason. Either maybe they were fixing up during the pandemic, there wasn't enough people, or whatever the case might be, it was weak, but that wasn't so bad that it undercut whatever the movie was trying to do. And aside from that, I thought it was just okay. Like, it wasn't a bad movie. It got the job done for what it was trying to do.
I think for me, the movie did feel, you know, middle of the pack in terms of the MCU. I mean, nothing that is particularly great or fantastic, but also nothing that's particularly horrible or unwatchable. It was just, you know, your standard Marvel movie, which I guess for a lot of people is the first Marvel movie in theaters since 2019. So that kind of ushering back, and then we had a chance to see it in theaters, and the crowd was very much into it, and they're cheering and they're clapping and they were getting shocked at all the big moments. So in that sense, I do see that, okay, why is this movie doing well? Number one, it's a Marvel movie. Number one, it's the first kind of phase four movie this year. So people are interested. We know the Disney Plus series are driving a lot of popularity to Marvel, especially after Endgame, kind of rebooting it in a sense and restarting kind of new journeys and new stories. But this one kind of felt like tying up loose ends. You know, as we know, the character is dead. So for a lot of people, it's like, okay, what's going to happen next for her? She already died in Endgame. There's nothing that can happen with the original Black Widow that's going to be like something special. And in that case, it's true. It does feel like, you know, a period piece. It's like, just, it happened that point and that's it, you know? And in that sense, you know, it's hard to feel particularly invested because you know the end goal. Like, nothing that happens to Black Widow's movie is going to make you feel like what's going to happen to her, because we already know Infinity War Endgame happened. Like, we saw her end of her life already. Now we're seeing a middle portion of her story, one story in the middle, which again, it's fine, but for me, it just did feel like it didn't do anything for me in terms of, hey, now this is, you know, you can hang your hat. This is a Phase 4 Marvel movie. I feel like that's what Loki and WandaVision, that's what you're saying. Okay, that's where Marvel's doing a great job. This is kind of like, all right, you know, if this came out in 2019 or 2020, I would see why it feels like a 2019, 2020 type Marvel movie. It didn't really feel like something that's cutting edge creatively, which is what Marvel's doing these days with WandaVision, Falcon to some degree, and then Loki, where they're really pushing the boundaries of like, okay, creatively, what do we do with these characters to make them more interesting for the next phase? I feel like that wasn't done in this movie. That being said, I think I agree with Zion, and everyone's been saying this, so it's not like a controversial opinion, but Florence Pugh obviously was the standout actress of the movie, and she is, you know, the next Black Widow. For all intents and purposes, she's going to be taking on that mantle. So, yeah, if that's the point of the movie, to sell you on here's a new Black Widow, and here's a two-hour movie setting her up, yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. So that's really kind of where it sat to me on overall level. But then technically, like Zan said, you know, nothing too crazy, nothing too bad either. I think the third act was a little weak CGI-wise, VFX-wise, but whatever, you know. Marvel, you know, sometimes we saw Black Panther also where you could have the most brilliant script and have all the right actors, but then third act comes and the graphics become like PS2. So you don't. So you can't ever really you don't really know when it comes to Marvel how good the CGI is going to be late in the game. Of course, things like Endgame, Infinity War, you're going to have that top-notch VFX, but for other movies, you're not 100% sure how much money they're putting in. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand on Umar. Kind of your basic thoughts, like what you think about Black Widow?
Well, I would say it had some scenes that were cool, but much like y'all, most of it...
Go on, yeah.
Well, y'all already...
Nah, Zion, okay, you know, he was smiling, yeah.
Right. But basically, yeah. It had some scenes that were bad. I think the opening scene, the opening credits scene.
Yeah, all right. Talk about the opening credits, because I actually do think that. Are we laughing because Samir's not here to keep us grounded? Is that what's happening? We need Samir.
I want to see how hard.
Yeah, you're muted, but yeah, you're muted. It's all good.
What did Dion say?
I said I'm just laughing because I feel like you're going very hard on the movie. I'm just anticipating you right now.
Yeah, I'm going to give the good first, and then I'll get into the bad.
All right.
So there's, I guess, like, I like the fact that they're going to have her sister kind of pick up the mantle, because then, you know, it's not over and the story's actually going to go somewhere. So that's good. I thought the opening scene was pretty good. I think it started slow. Like, the movie started very slow because it's like a whole scene where they're trying to, like, rush and go in, like, a helicopter, or not a helicopter, a plane.
Plane, yeah.
That whole scene was, honestly, it was kind of dumb. But anyways, the opening scene was nice.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, you're roasting. You roasted the opening scene. Nice. Go ahead.
It struggled in the, basically the whole movie struggled. I'm not a fan of like the run-of-the-mill Marvel stuff anyways. So, like, I can't, you're like, I'm not a fan of like where they go mid. So this is one of those flicks, so I'm not. Really,
it did feel like kind of run in the middle, kind of just it's your average movie, you know. It's like nothing too crazy, you know. Like if you compare to basketball, it's like you're a team that, you know, just made the playoffs, like, you know, it's your eighth seed, you know. That's how I always it's like eight seed,
so
seven
like
seed team, you know?
So it's like the Lakers.
It was like the Lakers in 2021. That's how I read it. But I do want to give a moment to talk about that opening not montage, the opening credits rather, because Marvel actually never does opening credits overall. Like you don't see them do a montage, Beautiful Lies style, like segment where it's like all these like provocative images and a soundtrack, and then you're seeing all the names of each actor. Marvel leaves it.
Let's not get carried away. Beautiful Lies.
I was saying like that's like a comparison, like the opening montage, because Marvel never does opening montages. They usually do everything in the end. So like, I don't know, what's an example? You know, like Black Panther, when the movie ended, then you get the main song of the movie, then you get the all like the flashy stuff of, you know, the actors' names and what character they're playing and all that stuff. You know, the artsy stuff. Did that in the beginning of the movie. That's why when you saw it in the end, the first post-credit scene, the one where Black Widow is in her Infinity War costume and she's like talking to the guy saying, I'm going to go break out the Avengers from prison, because they were still locked up at that point, right, between Civil War and Infinity War. That scene just started right away. There was no mid-credit scene because there was no mid-credits. So that I thought was interesting, because I noticed like, hey, wait a minute, the second the movie ended, it just cut to black and then the credits rolled, like the end credits rolled instead of like that mid-credits, the flash credits. That's because they put that in the beginning. But I do think that they did a good job with the song choice. Like smells like the song is called you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit, and if they give a cover to it, so they can make it feel like, hey, this is what these two sisters, like they went through hell and back to go through it. And they explained, like, you know, like they, you know, cut off all your reproductive organs. Like, they went through kind of deep into the story of what happens to these women when they get put into this camp, right? And they come out as just trained killers and assassins. So that became kind of like the what Zion mentioned. Like, there's a darkness to the story from beginning to end where there actually isn't much room for too many jokes. And the jokes they do put in are just like sister jokes or like jokes, family jokes, like, oh, haha, the dad is saying this, the mom is saying that, whatever, right? They don't usually get, there's no like slapstick comedy. So it's not like your Ant-Man in a sense. But because the subject matter is dark. But again, it just, and Umar made one good point about it feeling slow. And I guess that's not a bad thing for a movie to take its time, but it did feel like it was a slow paced movie. Like, you're just taking your time. And then you get your very generic car chase scene, which is in every single movie ever made. And at this point, it's just, you go to sleep in that time of the movie, you know, that's the time you go to the bathroom, you have to, you know, like the car chase is like, from now, for me in general, has become the most boring part of every movie, you know, like, oh God, it's a car chase. Okay. And then the same cement, you know, cinematography.
You know, they put Scarlett Johansson in a weird place because she couldn't actually add anything to her, like the character. She had to play her the same way. Because the way, the part of the, like, her character arc, like, the part of the arc that they focused on is, like, right in the middle of, she couldn't do anything new. Like, if you went younger or something.
The point is so right, because actually the point in the movie where she's like, listen, I killed the guy, I forgot his name, I popped in my head, but she thought she killed him already because the whole Budapest storyline, which is they keep mentioning in Avengers 1 and Avengers 2, like, oh, Budapest this, Budapest that, I have so much red on my ledger, and she keeps saying that again and again, and you're like, oh, what happened in Budapest that was so important? And then this time they say, oh, you know what happened in Budapest? It never happened. So now do the story again for us. So you're literally right that they had no arc for her. So they created one out of something that already happened once in her past. Said, oh, you know what? You thought you killed him. And guess what? He's alive. Now kill him again with your sister. So that's the story they made, right? So in that sense, I do what you're saying. Like, it's kind of like you can't add too much to her story, which is why I felt personally she was one of the weaker parts in terms of acting performances. And in terms of even though it's her movie, she's the lead. I feel like, I don't know, nothing stood out to me about Scarlett Johansson.
You know, I'm just saying on that point, like you mentioned the whole what she went through, Budapest, stuff like that, and that leads straight into the villain of the movie, which is Taskmaster, which is, I guess, the villain, and that whole reveal that, you know, is actually the guy's daughter, and who she thought she killed to try to get the guy and whatever, and she's actually alive and blah, blah, blah. A lot of people have already problems with that. We've seen online a lot of people say there's a problem with that. For me personally, I honestly didn't really care because it's like, obviously, I didn't expect Taskmaster to ever show up again. So it's like they can really do whatever they wanted for this character. And it just, she fit into confines of the story where, all right, she can show up for this one appearance and then never show up again and nobody will care. And that's basically how they handled the character. It's like this character could have been anybody, but they just threw the name of Taskmaster, attached the name of Taskmaster to this character to try to bring like things full circle within the confines of the movie itself. So for that reason, for that reasoning, I didn't think it was that big of a problem because a lot of people say that, oh yeah, Taskmaster is supposed to be this, supposed to be that, but really nobody cares. Like Taskmaster, he's a good villain, but he's not like one of the giants in Marvel, you know, like he is a very good villain. I'm not saying that like when in his comics and whatever games and things he's appeared in, he's a good villain, but I guess just using for the confines of the story, they just wanted to use the name to create hype, but I don't think it's a big deal that they changed it just for the confines of the movie.
He's really supposed to be like a Deathstroke type guy, like just, you know, your generic kind of assassin who's very skilled at all sword fighting and martial arts. So he's just Deathstroke. But in this case, they obviously completely changed his story. But then again, this is not new for Marvel. It's not even new for DC where they'll take a character like, look at Birds of Prey with Cassandra Cain. They just made it something else, like something brand new. And Marvel's in that too with someone else. I don't remember who, but they took a character that everyone understood and they were like, let's flip it on its head. The Mandarin from Iron Man 3. Obviously, now Mandarin's going to be in
Spider Man 3.
I said the Mandarin Iron Man 3, right? They completely flipped his storyline. There's somebody else, but I don't know who.
I'm so pissed about that. Yo, that guy was doing such a good job.
Thing is, then the real Mandarin's gonna be in Shang-Chi as like the guy's dad, right? So he's finally the real Mandarin showing up. But in Iron Man 3, in that like confines of that movie, they definitely changed up like what this character was supposed to be. Even U.S. Agent from Falcon Winter Soldier, like the character in the comics is much more like racist and like
nationalist, you know?
Yeah, and this one they made him more like middle.
Don't make me give a hot take right now.
All right, give a hot take.
That character, right, in the first when they showed like the propaganda part of it, if they actually made him like that and they gave him like rings and the powers, he would have been one of the best villains in the MCU history.
You know what doesn't make even less sense? Because they made him to be somehow like Arab, like terrorist, but they call him the Mandarin, which is like Chinese and an Asian. It's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, it's one of the long list of reasons why Iron Man is one of the most worst movies ever. But like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, yeah, it's just garbage.
Well, yeah, I think the only, we're straying off topic, but the only good thing about Iron Man 3 was that it kind of addressed like his like PTSD and his anxieties and stuff like that. So I like how they gave Tony like extra character development in that movie, but the rest of it is just a mess. Yeah, so let's just go into the last part of this thing, which is the post credit scene. And again, this whole thing's been spoiled, so I can't give another spoiler warning. But in the post credit scene, we see Yelena mourning her sister. This is the first time where they flash forward to current present day. And she's while she's mourning her sister, next to her is what's her name, Valentina?
People assume Madame Hydra, which is going to be.
Yeah, I think more likely Madame Hydra, but Valentina is her name right now, and she's played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right? Louis-Dreyfus, so Elaine from Seinfeld, as I would know best from. But so she comes back, and she has this reprisal of a role where she was in Falcon and the Soldier, where she recruited U.S. agent after he was kind of like forced to give up the mantle of Cap to Sam Wilson, and she's kind of building her own Dark Avengers, basically. And we already see she recruited one Captain America. Now she recruited. She's been recruited. Yelena, who's probably going to be her Black Widow, right? And the big reveal is that she says, listen, don't you want to get revenge for your sister and kill the man responsible? And she says, here's the man responsible, and it's Clint, it's Hawkeye, right? I have two things about it. Number one, how does she know Clint killed her? You know, like even if you, like what, is she, like, who's telling you this? Like let's say you know that way there were both of them are together at the cliff, and one of them died, obviously. And now she's blaming Hawkeye. How would she know that?
She doesn't have
powers or someone feeding information? Like,
no, she doesn't have to know.
Who would feed information from that planet?
Someone who's like, you know, big time, like, I don't know, Kang the Conqueror, Galactus or something, you know? Silver Surfer. Someone's going to fill her in. Someone evil, of course.
I just want Hawkeye to die. And so she's made up the whole story and she just happens to be right about it.
Yeah.
That's such a Marvel thing to do, but it sounds so bad.
If we genuinely thought for a little while that there's donut like jelly on Batman Malkin's costume, then we can be fine that they just know that Hawkeye's responsible. But what I wanted to ask you guys was like, where do you think the story goes from here? Like, are they setting up for Hawkeye's own Disney Plus series, which we know is coming out next year, or actually the year after, I don't know. But it's coming out next year, I think. And maybe they're setting up a showdown of Black Widow versus Hawkeye and him coming to atoning to us to his best friend's like sister that, listen, like, I didn't kill her, but, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I wanted to kill myself instead, but she took the fall for me. Because remember, they were both fighting each other to see who would die first. Like, they're both willing to sacrifice each other for that scene. So now he gets to finally tell the sister that, like, this is what happened, but obviously they're going to fight before it happens.
I don't know how much story you can get out of that. You could just tell her that, hey, I didn't kill
her. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know if it's like, they're going to get a few episodes where it's just going to be them fighting each other and then not explaining it. And then eventually maybe he'll die himself or something because
there's parallels between the shows. WandaVision and Loki, they're following a similar track. And Hawkeye will follow the track of Falcon and Soldier, where nothing really happens the whole show. Like, the whole show is just a basic waste of time, but at the end, he becomes Captain America. That's the whole point of the show. Like, it's gonna be the same thing where, yeah, they'll probably fight a little bit. She's gonna show up in his show. I mean, where else can he show up? They're not gonna waste a movie on Hawkeye. He's not a good character. So she's gonna show up in the show. They'll hash it out. She'll probably become a good guy by the end. And then he'll obviously give the mantle to his daughter. Maybe he'll kill himself. Maybe he'll sacrifice himself to save Yelena. Maybe that'll be like his penance for kind of letting her die, Black Widow die, who knows. But it's like there's not a lot to read into it. It's just she's going to show up. It's going to be a basic, very boring show. And they're just going to handle business. They're just going to do whatever they have to just set up the next few things. But don't expect any kind of crazy thing to happen in the show.
I was kind of excited for that show, not gonna lie, but now you made me less excited. But I was like, yeah, it's gonna be maybe interesting, you know, like give Hawkeye a little bit of, you know, I don't know, character development. he hasn't had any in 10 years. You know, he became Ronin out of nowhere, and now he's back to being Hawkeye. Like, I don't know what's going on. Is he even Hawkeye anymore?
See, that part of it could have been nice. Like the part where he loses, like when he lost his family and that, like,
yeah,
after
that. Maybe another prequel then.
Story. Like they could have went into like how he became, he just became that. Like he just started killing people.
Yeah, but not. But we know this one's gonna take place after Endgame, so sounds like he's back to being Hawkeye. Then we don't know what he is at the end of the movie. Like, he never said he's Hawkeye again. Maybe he's still being running. I don't know. But I know the image that Valentina gave to Yelena was of him in his Ronin costume. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's the only costume he wears. That's his costume.
No. He has a completely different Avengers costume.
No. Yeah. In Avengers, he either wore that or he wore like their Power Rangers time space suit. You know. That's his outfit. That's what he wore in the end. His Avengers
1 costume. No. He was wearing the suit. He was wearing his regular, you know, the X on his chest, kind of like he wore in Avengers and Avengers 2 and in Civil War. He has a superhero costume.
He didn't wear that. He wore his black.
You have to search yourself. In fact, I'm going to search it right now.
It's bad anyways. The suit is like anyone
can. The hood one is only the Ronin costume.
It doesn't matter because he's by far one of the worst characters, most boring characters in the MCU.
Actually, in anything, but it's fine.
So you're saying Green Arrow is better. Is Green Arrow from the Arrow show better than Clint from MCU?
Even people who hate CW know that's true.
Is that true? I don't know.
Hawkeye's almost. What is Hawkeye's story? He's nothing. He's been a side character the whole series. The whole 24 films now, he's been a waste character.
Now the gimmick, his own show. So maybe he'll be good in 6 episodes.
His daughter's gonna be the focus.
Look how much better Loki is in this show than he was like in Thor 2.
You know? No, everybody still loves Loki. There's a reason why he has a show, is because he became more famous than Thor himself.
It's true. All right, but we'll see what happens with both that and this. Umar, do you have any final thoughts on this movie, or is there not much to say?
I don't have any thoughts.
Okay.
I said,
I just want to make Zan laugh. But all right, so I guess that's good enough. I mean, Samir, what are your thoughts? Oh, he's not here. All right, so. We'll hit you guys back up. We got an interview with someone from the cast of Space Jam coming up next week, and we're also going to give you guys a full spoiler breakdown of Space Jam this weekend.
So another spoiler, our interview with somebody who has the letter L in their name. That's
right. now they're going to think it's LeBron, but it's fine. Still tune in anyways.
That's the joke.
I know, I got it. From myself, from Zayan, from Umar, and from... Oh, that's it. We're the Faruqi Bros. We'll see you next time.